guys look different from up here. You know that? I kind of almost forgot what it's like to see you from here, you know? But why don't we start this morning with our Bible declaration, and then I want to say a few things to you. But, and because we're light this morning, because there isn't all of our people here this morning, you're going to have to be extra loud.
Okay.
Huh? Amen? That's it. You got it. All right. We're going to do our Bible declaration together, so if you would hold your Bible up in your right or left, I don't care, hand, okay? And here we go. Say this with me. This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. I can do what it says I can do. Today I will be taught the Word of God. Say that line again. Today I will be taught the Word of God. I'll boldly confess, my mind is alert, my heart is receptive, I'm about to receive the incorruptible, indestructible, ever-living seed of the Word of God. I'll never be the same. In Jesus' name, let's go. Amen. Let's go. You can be seated. Well, this feels kind of weird. It shouldn't, but it does. Do you realize I have not preached to you since June 9th? June 9th, that's 83 days. Except for one small announcement that I gave that I had to come to the pulpit and give, it's been 83 days. That's a long time. That's a longer time than I have ever not preached in over 25 years. And I just want to thank you, and I'll try not to get emotional here, but I just want to thank you for all your prayers, and I would like them to continue. I'm not quite totally completely there, but I'm running for it, okay? What was that? Okay, all right. I want to thank you for praying. I want to thank you for just being loving. I want to thank those who preached and made it possible for me even to be gone that long, okay? So thank you. If you can remember that far back, 83 days ago, I know some of you have trouble remembering from one week to the next. I'm one of them, okay? But if you can remember that far back, we were in a series called Breaking Strongholds. And I was just about to break into the more positive aspect of the fruits of the Spirit, and bam, I was attacked. And by the way, I really believe that time of sickness that I went through was an all-out attack. What's really, really strange is my cousin, who was born exactly 1 month after me, actually died during that time that I was in the hospital. I don't know if that connects. I don't know what, but it's almost like the devil was after DeVries, okay? Okay. So, because I believe that was such an attack, I don't think it would be any surprise to you today to know that I would like to talk to you about Breaking Strongholds 101, okay? Breaking Strongholds 101. I want to go back to the beginning, if you will. But first, I have some questions for you to think about as I get ready to preach. All right. I wonder, has the Holy Spirit ever asked you to do something that seems sort of odd to your natural mind? Yeah? Yeah? But when you're obedient to that call or that message, it resulted in His mighty power being demonstrated in and through your life. Amen? Have you ever had that happen?
Yes.
Secondly, have you ever realized that your natural talent or your mental reasoning or your human effort are utterly useless when it comes to winning spiritual battles? Come on. Come on. Maybe even the ones that you are going through today. How many of you today are going through a spiritual battle? Amen? And I think many times we don't realize that the garbage that we go through very well could be a spiritual battle. It might be something we sowed, and so we're reaping, but maybe not, okay? Maybe it's just something that the enemy has decided to attack us with. One thing I do believe is that God is ready to give you the battle plan, if you will, that you need to win the battle in your life right now. But that leads to the third question that I have. Are you really willing to spend the time in prayer? Come on. Are you really willing to spend the time in prayer that's required for you to receive that battle plan? Because I want you to know something this morning. In order to receive God's plan, we have to be in prayer. Amen? Come on. I know that's hard to hear if you really, really listen to what I'm saying. But what I'm saying is you have to know God. You have to know him right now, not know him in the past or know him at one time or another. No, you have to know him right now. That's why it's so important that you and I stay prayed up. Well, does God change? No, he doesn't change, but we do. We do. Anyway, please turn your Bible to 2 Corinthians 10, verse 4. And this is just kind of going back to the beginning because I fully plan on continuing with that series. I don't know, I think we're on about 10. But we'll have at least 9 more after that, I do know that. 2 Corinthians 10, verse 4, very familiar scripture. Something I didn't even know existed before I got saved and began to seek the Lord and read the Bible. Paul writes this, he says, "For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for the pulling down of strongholds," the very thing that we're talking about. This is what a Bible scholar would call a very powerful verse, and we're about to find out why. It's not only powerful, but it's foundational. And anyway, how many of you know that whenever Paul speaks about anything, especially spiritual warfare, it's time for us to listen? Amen? I don't think there's anyone that has been through the spiritual battles that Paul went through. And I'm going to kind of take a leap here right now, but I think out of all the many different topics that are in the Bible that we read, I think spiritual warfare is one of my favorite topics to preach about. And I think it's my favorite because I feel that one of the things that I've been called to as your pastor, okay, to preach you about, to teach you about, is how to practically walk out the spiritual principles in the Bible. Amen? How many of you know that it's one thing to read something in the Word of God and acknowledge that what you just read was really good and it really hit home and it was really wise, but it's another thing to walk out that wisdom. Amen? This verse in 2 Corinthians is one of the more foundational verses that have ever been written in the Bible on the subject of spiritual warfare. Wait just a second, okay? You don't have to be quiet. Don't look, okay? All right, how many of you looked? All right. But it's a very, very foundational verse. And because of this, because it's so foundational, I think that it's of the utmost importance. You know, I think it's really important that we understand that it's what Paul is really trying to tell us. Not just get an idea, not just think that we know. Sometimes we can think we know what a Bible verse is saying, and you know what? We don't know. But I do know this much. The more you seek, the more you tear it apart, the more you look at the Word of God, the more you read it, the more you commit it to memory, the more you'll know instead of think you know what it means. So today, I want to especially draw your attention to three words that are found in the Scripture. Man, it just seems so quiet in here today. What's the deal? Okay. And those three words are as follows. First, I want to talk about and look at the word weapons, okay? Secondly, we have to understand the word warfare, what that is. And lastly, we want to examine the word carnal, okay? Weapons, warfare, and carnal. Gary Timmer, could you come up and pray for the message? You thought I forgot, didn't you? You thought I forgot. You thought it had been that long. Yeah. I just about did.
Let's pray. Thank you, Lord. God, we are so, so grateful that Pastor Wes is back. Father, thank you for your healing touch in his life, God, and in his body. Father, as we step back, Lord, to the scripture, God, I thank you, Lord, that you are just going to open up us to it, Lord. Open up our minds, open up our eyes, God. Open up our hearts, Lord, to understand, to receive, God, to desire the change and work out this word in our lives, God, to be doers of your word. Father, again, we thank you for Pastor West, God. I thank you that you just continue to strengthen him as he ministers for you, God, and ministers to you. Lord, we love you. We need you in Jesus' name, the church said. Amen. Amen.
And now I want to do it on the mic. Okay. I want to thank him especially because right at the beginning of this whole thing, I didn't know from week to week whether I was going to get up and preach, okay? And it would be like Friday night or Saturday, and I'd call Gary and just say, hey, I can't. You got to do it. You know, you got to, and he would. And I think it's awesome that he could, you know, that he was listening to God. And that's the kind of a relationship that you and I should covet with God, one that we would hear him and that when we hear him, we would know that it's his voice. Amen? And that's the kind of relationship that I'm talking about, and that's the kind of relationship that he wants, amen? And that's the kind of relationship that I'm talking about where you can receive from him at any time. Amen? Amen. Let's hear that verse again, okay? For the weapons, word one, of our warfare, word two, are not carnal, word three, but mighty in God for the pulling down of strongholds. One of the first things that Paul wants us to know is that we have been given weapons to win the battles that we will inevitably go through, and you will inevitably go through battles. I don't care. I don't care. It's almost like when you're going towards God, the enemy's coming at you, and he hits you sometimes, and he pushes you back sometimes. But thanks be to God, amen, who giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ, amen. Thanks be to God. He picks us back up and puts us back on the road where we fell off. And that is so good, so good. Anyway, there's going to be battles that we go through. They're inevitable. They're going to have, they're part of life. These spiritual armaments or weapons, if you will, have been provided for us by God himself. And they're at our disposal at any time, especially if we're prayed up. Amen. And the weapons that we've been given, there's one thing we have to understand. They are both offensive and defensive. And they can be found in Ephesians chapter 6, verses 13 through 18. And we're going to read that in a minute. Paul takes time to list them one at a time, one by one, and explains what each piece of weaponry represents to us. In fact, let's look at all of that together. Okay? You may have to read it up here, unless you have an amplified Bible with you. Because that's what I'm going to use, because that brings out some of the best detail. Amen? Amen? So you can turn there if you like, Ephesians 6, 13 through 19. It's just kind of a review for you and I. All right. The Bible says, therefore put on God's complete armor, that you may be able to resist and stand your ground on the evil day of danger, and having done all the crisis demands to stand firmly in your place. Stand therefore, hold your ground, having tightened the belt of truth around your loins and having put on the breastplate of integrity and of moral rectitude and right standing with God. And having shod your feet in preparation to face the enemy, to face who? Yeah. That's right. To face the enemy with the firm-footed stability, the promptness, the readiness produced by the good news of the gospel of peace. Amen? By the word of God. Verse 16, lift up over all the covering shield of saving faith upon which you can quench all the fire. How many? How many believe what the Bible says? Amen. Oh, but I've got to go through this. No, no, no. That we're able to quench all the fiery darts, all the flaming missiles of the wicked one. Verse 17, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit. I'm sorry, I said that wrong because I have memorized it a different way, but I like the way that it says it in the Amplified. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword that the Spirit wields. Who wields? The Spirit wields. The Spirit that's inside of you, which is the Word of God. Pray at all times, on every occasion, in every season, in the Spirit, with all manner of prayer and entreaty. To that end, keep alert and watch with strong purpose and perseverance, interceding in behalf of all the saints, God's consecrated people. So the first thing that Paul is telling us is that we have God-given weapons to fight our battles with. But it's important to understand how important it is that we put on the spiritual armor every day. Say every day.
Every day.
Every day. Well, Pastor Wes, why do we put it on every day? Isn't that a little bit excessive? I mean, every single day? Yes, every single day. Because you and I have no idea, and I'm proof of that, you and I have no idea when the enemy is going to launch his attack. You and I haven't got a clue when he might just pop up and do his best to take you down. Come on. We're in a Pentecostal church. Amen? So we believe that there's an enemy. I didn't realize that as much as when I was going to a mainline denomination. But we realize that we have an enemy, and we realize that we have to fight against him. Amen? And by this time, if you've been in the Lord very long, you realize that there's the armor of God that's going to be that going to do that protecting in your life. So God does it, but you have to get into the armor. Amen? Yeah. You can say, well, why didn't God protect me? Well, did you have any armor on? Amen? Oh, here we go. Okay. Isn't that a little excessive? No, it's not. And it's important that we're prepared and ready every day. How does the saying go? The best offense is a good defense. Say that like you mean it. The best offense is a good defense. But then you might ask me, how do I put it on? And we've preached this many, many other times, but I just, you know, the key to learning is repetition. Amen? You know, like programmed learning. You know, the more you repeat it, and said it in different ways, but saying the same thing, the more likely you are to remember it, okay? So that's why you hear me say this so often. Just say this after me, okay? This is what you should be able to do or should do every morning. I tighten the belt of truth around my waist. I put on the breastplate of righteousness. I shod my feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. I lift up the shield of faith. I put on the helmet of salvation. I take up the sword that the Spirit wields. And then there's this other piece of armor that we seem to forget about, and that's this. It says, and finally, what we should be doing is praying. Okay, because that's what Paul says, that we should be praying on every occasion and in every season in the Spirit with all manner of prayer and entreaty. That means you and I should spend, you know, the majority of our free time, if we can do that, okay, we should be praying. Well, am I talking about, you know, being on my face before the Lord and knelt down? No, I'm not. But, you know, there's something about having fellowship with God that he's your first go-to when something goes wrong. Come on. And then there's something about not having fellowship with God and falling away from the Lord, and your first go-to isn't that. It's your experience, or it's what people have told you. But it's so important that you and I as Christians that don't have any idea when the enemy's going to attack us, you don't have any idea when he's going to come at you, it's best, don't you think, just to stay in that relationship?
Yeah.
Amen. But this putting on of the armor, if you will, prepares you and I for anything that the enemy might throw at us. Amen? So first of all, we have weapons. Say weapons.
Weapons.
All right. Secondly, Paul uses the word warfare when he writes, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. The word warfare is taken from the Greek word stratos. And by choosing to use this word, the Holy Spirit is trying to tell you and I a very important truth about spiritual warfare, what we need to know to win spiritual warfare. You see, the word stratos is where we get the English word strategy, okay? And you might wonder, why is that so important? I'm going to tell you why it's so important. Because it tells us the spiritual warfare doesn't just happen. Come on. It doesn't just happen. Our attacks don't just happen. There's something that is strategically planned out by someone, and that someone is your enemy, and your enemy is who? Satan. What you have to know and what you have to realize when it comes to spiritual warfare is the enemy is not haphazard about what he does. He just doesn't give something a shot. Just like an army plans its line of attack before the battle begins, when do they do it? Before the battle begins, not after. Our enemy plans his line of attack and decides which method he is going to use on us. And then he chooses the approach that he wants to take as he cautiously plans his well-thought-out assault. That's what the word stratos is telling us. He just doesn't say, well, I think today I'm going to tempt Wes with peaches. I don't know. I can't eat peaches right now. Maybe I kind of broke the intensity of the time, but see, he's not so haphazard. He has things planned out. He knows what bugs you. He knows what buttons to push. He knows what triggers you, and he'll use that. And he may use that time after time after time, which he does. But what you have to understand is he can come in different doors and different directions just to get you. Say, just to get me. All right. But the word stratos doesn't just describe the devil's strategies, okay? Or that he's the only one that has strategies. It also tells us that if we will just listen to the Holy Spirit, he will give us a strategy of our own that's superior to any stratos or strategy that the devil has. Now, I don't know about you this morning. I think that's pretty good. Amen? I think that's pretty good. As my iPad does weird things. I don't know about you, but I think about it and I go, glory to God, glory to God. You know, the devil's not the only one with a strategy. Please hear me. The Holy Spirit always, say always. The Holy Spirit always holds the key for the strategy for every victory. Amen? His intent is to provide us with divinely inspired strategies that will render null and void, say null and void. The work of the devil each and every time. In other words, the devil may have a strategy, but we have a divine strategy. And that ought to make you excited this morning. That ought to make you shout. That he has a strategy that he's come up with, but God himself, the creator of all things, has a divine strategy that he's going to give you to overcome what you have to overcome. See, the Old Testament is filled with examples of Holy Spirit-inspired strategies. I think we did a series at one time that was named that. You think about the story of Joshua and the children of Israel as they stood before the walls of Jericho in Joshua chapter 6 with no way to scale the walls, no way to tear them down. They needed a strategy, a divine strategy, to be victorious. What strategy did the Lord give him? Now just listen to this, and just imagine if you were a soldier. Well, just imagine if you were Joshua. They were instructed to walk around the walls of Jericho once a day for 6 days and sometimes on the seventh day. Then after the seventh time around the walls on the seventh and last day, they were to blow trumpets. And they had to be made of ram's horns. And the wall would fall down in front of them. How'd you like to be a soldier? Those were the instructions that you were going to follow. Does it make any sense whatsoever? None whatsoever. None at all. None of it sounded like a good idea. And it just wasn't reasonable to the natural mind. But the results of this divine strategy created one of the most amazing miracles that we still talk about today. Why? Because divine strategies defeat the devil's strategies every time. Say every time. Amen. Or how about the time when Jehoshaphat sent out the praise team ahead of the army to sing and to worship the Lord. That's in 2 Chronicles chapter 20. Think about it. I mean, what in the world? What army or what leader or officer would send singers and musicians to the front lines of the battle in front of his armed soldiers? It kind of sounds like suicide for the praise team. I think I quit, you know? Yet they did exactly what God said. And as the choir sang praises to God and they played their instruments, the Lord supernaturally set ambushments. I love that word. Ambushments. Say ambushments. The Lord set ambushments. I'm giving you King James now. And the enemies were smitten. I like that word too. See, Trudy, that's good King James. Amen? That's good King James. But on that day, the children of Israel walked away from the battle without losing a single soldier. And not only that, there was so much plunder that it took them 3 days, 3 days to gather it all up. How did they win that famous battle? I'll tell you why. I'll tell you how. They received a divine strategy from the Lord, and then they followed it. Okay? But in both of these cases, the plan of attack, or the strategy, if you will, made no sense to the natural mind. None whatsoever. But it released so much divine power that in both cases, that strategy completely crushed the enemy. So don't be surprised, amen? Don't be surprised when you ask for a strategy to win the battle that you're going through. When the Holy Spirit gives you a strategy that doesn't make any sense to you when you first hear it. Because that seems to happen. You know, if you even look in the Word of God says, you know, bless your enemies. What? That must be a misprint, right? Because that doesn't make any sense whatsoever. Pray for your enemies. That's even worse. Okay? Another misprint. But you know, it's so funny. When God asks us to do things that are so ridiculous, it just shows how God can work through us, and it isn't us in the first place. Amen? Amen. So don't be surprised. You have to remember, God operates on a higher level than you and I, and he knows what you don't know. And because, and this is really it, okay, and I want you to understand this and take this home with you. Divine strategies defeat the devil's strategies every time. Every time. So first, Paul lets us know that we have weapons, amen? Secondly, Paul lets us know that God will give us a divine strategy. And that leads us to our third word, and that's the word carnal. Everybody say carnal. Carnal. In the Greek, the word translated as carnal is the word sarkos, okay? And sarkos describes anything that's of the flesh, all right? Or anything that is fleshly made up or conjured up by the flesh. Or also anything that is of the natural or of an unspiritual nature. That's the flesh. That's the carnal nature. Paul uses this word when he writes, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. They're not fleshly. You know, they're not conjured up by some kind of natural nature. But why does Paul say this? Because in essence, he was saying this, okay? Don't look to your flesh, all right? Don't look to your flesh to win the battle. For the weapon or strategy that I'm describing to you does not come from your natural talent, and we like to rely on that. It doesn't come from your mental prowess or from human effort, and by no means does it come from experience. And you've got to hear me on that because when you're a Christian very long, you think that everything happens the same way. It doesn't. It doesn't always happen the same way. And you can be caught by surprise when you're trying to battle something in the spirit. Hey, all I had to do was fast 3 days, and that worked last time. And then all of a sudden you fast 3 days this time to make something break, and it doesn't break, and you get discouraged, and your faith goes down. Yeah. And he's telling us right here, because it's so important that we keep our faith level up. Amen? Are you with me? We keep our faith level up. It's so important that we keep it up. He tells us right here that it's not going to be from your experience. It's not going to be from your super Christianity or by how many years you've been in the Lord. It's just not. These are spiritual weapons, and they're spiritual strategies, and they come from the spiritual realm. I mean, that's so easy to see once you talk it out like that, amen? They're spiritual weapons and spiritual strategies, and where do they come from? You know, they come from the spiritual realm, from God Almighty, amen? When you put all these Greek words together, all right, 2 Corinthians 10:4 carries this idea. Our God-given weapons are to be used in connection with his divine-given strategy. So don't look to the flesh to find a winning strategy, because the battle plan you need is not going to come out of your own natural talent, nor will it come from your mental prowess, nor will it come from human effort or experience. It will come from God and his divine strategy. See, that's encouraging. That's good news. You know, that we can take that, and if we know the Bible says that, we can stand on that. Amen? And if you're not familiar with standing on scriptures, when you have, next time you have a problem in your life, you find a scripture that applies to that problem, just keep on saying that scripture and say, God, I'm standing on this. I'm standing in faith on this. Amen. So, if you want to receive the strategy needed to assure you the victory, you have to be a prayer. You have to be in relationship. You have to be somebody who reads the Bible. You have to be somebody who seeks God, you know. It's no wonder sometimes when people come into me in the office and say this is happening or that's happening, and I don't always start with this, but I'll end up with this. Have you been seeking the Lord? Have you been, you know, doing what you think you can do? And I usually find out that they aren't. Okay, well, what difference should that make? Isn't God just full of mercy and all that kind of stuff? Well, yeah, he sure is. But they can't receive because they aren't in relationship. So the divine strategy that God would give them, he's unable to give them because they aren't standing in the position they should be standing in. Amen? How many of you know this morning that you and I as Christians have a spot where we should stand? You know, we stand on the Word of God. We don't let anybody tell you that anything written in that Word has passed away today. What'd you say? I still didn't hear you.
Amen.
Thank you. Thank you. You just have to remember what it says in 2 Corinthians 10:4, which is, as I said, a very foundational scripture for spiritual warfare. Well, see, here I go. I'm talking and I can't shut up. You might say, well, I'm not into that. I'm not into spiritual warfare. Well, you better be. Amen. You better be. No, I don't like all that devil stuff. Well, I'm sure he likes that even better. In fact, I'm not even sure there is a devil. What? What Bible do you read, you know? All right. You have to remember that it says, for the weapons that are God-given, for the weapons of our warfare, okay, are not carnal, but mighty in God for the pulling down of strongholds, the very thing that we've been talking about for a number of weeks. But don't be surprised if you go to God and he gives you something that seems just a little bit odd. A strategy that doesn't seem to make sense to your natural mind. But God sees more than you see. Amen. He knows more than you know, believe it or not. I think it's so important that we as Christians understand that spiritual warfare is something we're going to go through. Does every attack come from Satan? No, probably not. But probably more than you think do. And many times, and I've said it before, he'll use your good friends. He'll use people around you. And you won't recognize it as a spiritual attack. So you won't fight it as a spiritual attack. And the devil likes nothing more than for you to not realize where he's coming from or where he's coming in. Amen? But I got to believe, and I do believe, that when you're in relationship with God, when you're rightly, you know, talking to him, being with him, and understand something, and then I'm going to shut up, okay? Understand something. I'm not talking. There's a place and there's a time for laying on your face before the Lord and for kneeling before the Lord. There's a time for that, and you should take that every day. But what we're talking about here is praying without ceasing. That the first thing on my mind when something happens is God. Oh, God, no. Oh, God. Oh, thank you, God. You know. You are only that way if you're in relationship. You're only that way, and it works for me to pray in the morning. I like to get up in the morning and pray to God because then I can be in that relationship all day long. Yes. And I'm not saying these things. God is not a legalistic God. God's not a religious God. But again, you know, there's some religion that should be in every one of our lives, something that we do, some things that we do every day, no matter what, and seeking the Lord is one of them. So, would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, we've talked about what's in your word. We've talked about how Paul has given us just the key, if you will, to fighting these spiritual battles. Thank you for giving it to him and then him relating it to us. And I'm going to ask you today just to raise your hand. If you're going through a spiritual battle right now, just raise your hand. If you're going through a spiritual battle, just raise your hand, okay? Okay. In Jesus' name. Amen. I have a declaration that we're going to say. And I would ask anybody who raised their hand or anybody who would like to come up front to make that declaration to do so. Amen. Just to get up and get out of your seat, come up here, you know, just as a recognizing that God's going to do something in your situation today. And that today is the day that you're going to receive that divine strategy. The only thing that's going to make you win your battle. The only thing, all right? So, if you would say after me, not with me, but after me, okay? I declare by faith. And I receive the God-given weapons.
And I receive the God-given weapons.
That have been given to me.
That have been given to me.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Yeah. I declare by faith.
I declare by faith
that the Holy Spirit will give me the strategies that I need to win my battles.
The strategies that I need to win my battles.
Now shout this one. Because divine strategies
defeat the devil's strategies
every time. And I declare by faith
I am ready.
And I am willing. To do whatever it is he tells me to do. Whether it makes sense to my natural mind or not. I declare this by faith in Jesus' name. Say that again. I declare this by faith in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
And amen. Why don't you give the Lord a praise this morning? Thank you, God. And I know I'm talking and I can't be quiet, but it's been so long. You have to understand. Start believing that today, and start listening today for that divine strategy. Amen. You might think when you hear it, like, oh boy, that sure isn't God. It probably is, unless he tells you to do something, or you think he tells you to do something outside of his word. The Lord, gave me a scripture. While I was going through all this, and it was Psalm 103. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all of his benefits. I had forgotten his benefits. And if there's one thing that this did, the good that he's turned around out of this whole mess, is suddenly again, and I hope it never happens again, but suddenly again, I'm aware. Of what he's done for me. Healed me of a stroke. Amen. He's healing me right now.
Amen.
And the biggest one of all, he saved me.
That's right.
Amen. And I just want to urge you to remember, okay? To remember. Bless the Lord, all my soul, or O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. All his benefits. Amen. Glory to God. Glory to God. Heavenly Father, I pray that the people here today and those listening online, Lord, that they would take this message to heart. Lord, you've spoken plainly. You've spoken very straightforward. I thank you that it's recorded in the Bible, and we can know that it's true. And it's so simple, really. All we have to do is pray, receive the weapons, work within God's strategy, the divine strategy. And know that it's come from heaven and not from our own experience. And please keep us from trying to make that happen on our own.
Thank you, Lord.
Lord, I love you.
Jesus.
And I pray that this week, everyone here would experience that love that you have for us, that agape love.
Thank you, Lord.
In whatever manner they need to see it in.
Jesus, Jesus, Jesus.
But Lord, I thank you for answering the prayer of those who needed a strategy. In Jesus' name. And everybody shouted, amen. Amen. And amen. Amen.